Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Tier 90 Body Burn 30 support call. This call happens Monday through Friday at this time, which for me is 6:40 Pacific Time, 7:40 Mountain Time, 8:40 Central Time, and 9:40 Eastern Time. Thrilled to have you along with us. If you ever miss these calls, you can pick them up on an application called SoundCloud or wherever you get your podcasts by putting in Frank, F-R-A-N-K, Lomas, L-O-M-A-S, and Tier 90. And if you're listening to this as the podcast and you wish to catch us live, if you dial into 712-775-8972, you can catch us live. And when it prompts for the conference code, put in 910022 to join us live, and we would be delighted to have you along with us. I am your host this morning, and our panel of hosts do these calls in support of your TR90 efforts. I come to you from Portland, Oregon. I am a teacher by trade, but a huge interest in health, nutrition, and exercise going back, well, till when I was in high school. And that was because I had grandparents that had heart disease and adult onset diabetes, and I really did not want to have either of those two health challenges, so I've done many things to help prevent that over the years. With that being said, that Tier 90 program when you're first starting out is your one lean meal a day, two shakes a day, three snacks a day, 30 grams of protein, at least three of those meals. Taking your supplements 15 to 20 minutes before a meal is best, but if you're not able to do that, and I would say about 40% of the time I was not, I ended up taking my supplements with my meals so that I would remember to take them rather than miss them altogether. As a substitute teacher, you never know if you're running out the door with your breakfast in your hand or what's happening out on the playground or in the cafeteria that's going to delay your lunch. So it's the story of my life. Once you've taken those supplements, well, 7+ servings of fruits and vegetables every single day. Those fresh fruits and vegetables will give you macronutrients, micronutrients, and fiber. Your macronutrients are your proteins, your carbs, your sugars, your fats. Your micronutrients are your vitamins and minerals. And fiber, well, that helps in two ways, one of which is with satiety, which is that feeling of fullness. The other thing that fiber helps with is for good digestive health. For that, guys need about 45 grams of fiber daily, and ladies, we need about 32 grams of fiber daily. And if you're getting all that fiber, well, you'll want to get up and get moving. 30 minutes of moderate to heavy exercise at least 5 days a week. You can definitely do more than that, but don't do less than that. That exercise is really a critical part of the whole TR90 program. So that exercise can be in a 30-minute chunk, two 15-minute chunks, or three 10-minute chunks of exercise, whatever suits your lifestyle, but getting it in is really critical. And if you're exercising heavily, well, you could be losing up to a quart of body moisture in an hour, so it's recommended about every 15 minutes or so that you stop and drink 8 fluid ounces of water to rehydrate. And your baseline for hydration starts out at 1 ounce of water for every 2 pounds you weigh. So if you weigh 100 pounds, you start out at 50 ounces of water daily, and then you bump it up from there depending on how humid it is outside and how hard you're working out. And with all that hydration, the last thing that I highly recommend is 7 to 9 hours of good quality sleep a night. That sleep really sets your brain up for making good decisions the next day, clears out toxins, stores memories, restores muscles and tissues. It just does a multitude of things depending on which stage of sleep you're in, and it is critical to get that good quality sleep. With that being said, today's information is coming from the book that is called Brain Rules by 12 Principles for Surviving, Thriving at Work, Home, and School by John Medina. And today we're actually jumping into rule number 10, which is vision and the brain. And so we're just going to jump right into it, since this is the first time we've been at this topic. We do not see with our eyes. We see with our brains. The evidence lies within a group of 54 wine aficionados. Stay with me here. To the untrained ear, the vocabularies that wine tasters use to describe wine may seem pretentious and more reminiscent of a psychologist describing a patient. Aggressive complexity with just a subtle hint of shyness is something I once heard at a wine tasting soiree to which I was mistakenly invited, and from which once picked up off the floor, rolling with laughter, I was hurriedly escorted out the door. These words were taken very seriously by the professionals, however. A specific vocabulary exists for wines and a specific vocabulary for red wines, and the two are never supposed to cross. Given how individually we perceive any sentence, I often wondered how objective these tasters actually could be. So apparently did a group of brain researchers in Europe. They descended upon ground zero of the wine tasting world, the University of Bordeaux, and asked, what if we dropped odorless, tasteless red dye into white wine and then gave it to 54 wine tasting professionals with only visual sense altered? How could the enologists now describe their wine? Would their delicate palate see through the rouge, or would their noses be fooled? The answer is their noses would be fooled. When the wine tasters encountered the altered whites, every one of them employed the vocabulary of the reds. The visual input seems to trump their other highly trained senses. Folks in the scientific community had a field day. Professional research papers were published with the titles of The Color of Odors and the Nose of Smells and What the Eye Sees. That's about as much frat boy behavior as pretentious brain journals tolerate, and you can almost see the wicked gleam in the researchers' eyes. Data such as these point to the nuts and bolts of this chapter's brain room. Visual processing doesn't just assist in the perception of our world, it dominates the perception of our world. Starting with basic biology, let's find out why. We see with our brains. This central finding after years of study is deceptively simple and is made more misleading because the internal mechanics of vision may seem easy to understand. First, light, the groups of photons actually enters our eyes where it is bent by the cornea, the fluid-filled structure upon which your contacts normally sit. Then the light travels through the eye to the lens where it is focused and allowed to strike the retina, a group of neurons at the back of the eye. The collision generates electrical signals in these cells, and the signals travel deep into the brain via the optic nerve. The brain then interprets the electrical formation and we become visually aware. These steps seem effortless, 100% trustworthy, capable of providing a completely accurate representation of what's actually out there. Though we are used to thinking about our vision in such reliable terms, nothing in the last sentence is true. The process is extremely complex, seldom provides a completely accurate representation of our world, and is not 100% trustworthy. Many people think that the brain's visual system works like a camera, simply collecting and processing the raw visual data provided by our outside world. Such analogies mostly describe the function of the eye. however, and not particularly well. We actually experience our visual environment as a fully analyzed opinion about what the brain thinks is out there. We thought that the brain processed the information such as color, texture, motion, depth, and form in discrete areas. Higher level structures in the brain then give meaning to these features, and we suddenly obtained a visual perception. This is very similar to the steps discussed in the multisensory chapter, sensing, routing, perception, using bottom-up and top-down methods. It is becoming clear that we need to amend the notion. We now know that the visual analysis starts surprisingly early on, beginning with when the light strikes the retina. In the old days, we thought the collision was a mechanical, automated process. A photon shocked the retinal nerve cell in cracking off some electrical signal, which eventually found its way to the back of our heads. All perceptual heavy lifting was done afterwards, deep in the bowels of the brain. There is strong evidence that this is not a simplistic explanation of what goes on. It is a wrong explanation. Rather than acting like a passive antenna, the retina appears to quickly process the electrical patterns before it sends anything off to mission control. Specialized nerve cells deep within the retina interpret the patterns of photons striking the retina and assemble the patterns with partial movies, and then send these movies off to the backs of our heads. The retina, it seems, is filled with teams of tiny Martin Scorsese's. These movies are called tracks. The tracks are coherent, though partial abstractions of specific features of the coherent and through partial abstractions of specific features of the visual environment. One track appears to transmit the movie we might call eye meets wireframe. It is composed of only outlines or edges. Another makes a film you might call eye meets motion, processing only the movement of an object and often in a specific direction. Another makes eye meets shadows. There may be as many as 12 of these tracks operating simultaneously in the retina, sending off interpretations of specific features of the visual field. This new view is quite unexpected. It's like discovering the reason your TV gives your feature films is that your table is infested by a dozen amateur independent filmmakers hard at work creating the feature while you watch it. So we will be jumping into Streams of Consciousness on Friday at the top of the hour. If you scoot over to Facebook, One Team Global Live, one of our leaders will be sharing some information on how to build a new student business. This is Susan Mann for October 9th, 2023. 2024, signing out. I welcome any thoughts or comments you may have, both positive and negative, or just general questions. And if you're one of my quiet people, instead of voicing with me as soon as I get us off mute, you can actually send me a text to 503-502-4863. Just let me know you're part of the TR90 group so that I can get you out of the spam folder. With that being said, I'm opening up the line. So there we have it, my friends. Hopefully, as we delve into the vision and the brain, you will find this of great interest.
It's a really big deal. It still is for some, right? Just walk them through. Just make sure they understand. Hey, if I say we need to get, you know, you, me, and Monty on the phone, Cash, do you know how to do that? You know, and, you know, and it's... There's not a right or wrong.
If there's no other comments, I'm going to go ahead and release us. Go out and make it a great day.